Book of Genesis, chapter number 28. You stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God. What we do, turn around and tell somebody besides, say, I'm glad we're at church today. Turn around and tell them. Amen. Glad He still saves those sinners. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Rise, go to Padan-Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father. Take thee a wife from thence, the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And boy, like this, America's forgot about him. And God Almighty bless thee. He don't bow to Washington. He don't bow to you, and He don't bow to me. And He is God Almighty. And I want to say there's nothing too hard for Him. And He said, watch this, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful. How come you think you got what you got? It ain't on account of you. It's because the God of this Bible's chosen to bless you. He said, verse 4, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land when thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to where he was commanded to go. Then we find in verse number 10, Jacob went out from Beersheba, went toward Haran, and he lighted on a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun had set. He took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest to thee will I give it and thy seed. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places. You can underline that in your Bible. Whether thou goest, and I'll bring thee again into this land, for I'll not leave you until I've done that which I've spoken to you. Ain't you glad He keeps His promise? And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I've set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee the tenth. unto thee. You may be seated this morning. Now, you can go on and relax. I'm not going to preach on tithing. A lot of Baptists get nervous when a preacher preaches on tithing. But it is in your Bible. And it is a part of worshiping God. We ought to pay our tithe. It's bad when we tip waitresses more than we give God. Now, I wouldn't be complaining about just the tithe, the tenth. Amen. The Bible says we ought to give offerings too. Somebody say amen right there. This morning, I want you to notice the Bible said in verse number 11, and he lighted on a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. He took the stones of that place and put them for his pillow. And he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. I won't preach on this thought this morning. It's simply out of my heart what God's put in me today on there is a way out. There is a way out. Now, I want to say, first of all, you'll notice that the places in life we face, the places in life we face. You know, I wish just being one of God's young'uns, I wish that meant that we were immune to trouble. Wish that meant that we were immune to heartache and discomfort and doubts and crises. I wish just because I was a child of God that I was immune to the problems of this life. But now Jacob, he's a person a lot like ourself. He's full of trickery deeds, and he's a man that really can't be trusted a lot because he's just left his father's house and he tricked his brother by a blessing. Now I want to say that Esau now, he's breathing down Jacob's neck, and Esau realized he's been done wrong, and all this journey, no doubt Jacob's looking over his shoulder wondering, has he really got away with it? Boy, I'm going to tell you, I don't like looking over my shoulder wondering, am I going to get away with it? I've got a conscience big as this building. It's hard for me to do something. I try to keep my conscience cleaned up. Seems like some folk can just live like the devil and their conscience never bother them. You know, the Bible says that we can go against God long enough that our conscience becomes seared like a hot iron. But I don't know about y'all, but when my conscience goes to bothering me, I want to handle it. I want to do it right and fix it up, because I don't like looking over my shoulder when I'm sitting on posted property and no hunting signs up. I don't like looking for the game warden all day. You don't do much hunting that way. You know, you always trying to fish, and it says no fishing, and you're always looking for the landowner to walk up. You can't really concentrate and enjoy on what you're doing long as you're looking over your shoulder. Well, Jacob was looking over his shoulder. Matter of fact, his daddy said, you go 400 miles and get your wife. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we just listen to the Father's advice and do what He says do, and we may let blessings come find us instead of us hunting blessings? So he goes some 400 miles, but now one author said he's made it now some 70 or 90 miles and he's got stopped. I want to ask you something. I wonder, have you got stopped on your journey? You know, I used to listen to preachers a lot of time, and they would say this, well, you know, if you'll just love God and pay your tithes and stay faithful to church, man, you can go and shout, and I mean, you can just enjoy everything, and everything will line up. And I do realize we can enjoy things, and things do line up, but I'm going to tell you, there are some things I found out in my life that gets me stopped.
And I'm real careful to throw rocks at anybody where life's got them stopped. You know, it's easy to say, well, just go on and do better and do the way we do it and it'll be all right. Sometimes it's not all right. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? And so Jacob, he's on the road and he's walking in the blessings of his father. Now, I'm going to tell you, just because life's got you stopped don't mean that God's quit blessing you. God has blessed us so much. Just look around. Matter of fact, the devil will never show you how just what you got. He always shows you what you don't have. And so it does good sometimes just to take an inventory when we're stopped to really realize, you know, God has blessed us and He's given us orders from headquarters. Matter of fact, in verse 1, soon as He got blessed, He got charged. And can I tell you, with blessing also comes responsibility. Some of you are living in the blessings of God and you forgot about responsibility. You know something I've noticed when you love God and serve God, when blessings start to come upon you, then we forget about the blesser and we focus on the blessing. Now, God's given me a boat that is outstanding. It is unbelievable what kind of boat He's blessed me with. But you know where it is this morning? It's up on an airlift at Lake Weedowee. I ain't inside it, forgot about the blesser and enjoying the blessing. Can somebody shout amen and help me preach a little bit down at the Liberty Baptist Church today? And so with blessing comes great responsibility. And now Jacob is walking and he's found some places in life that he must face. And I want to tell you today, there are some places in life that you must face. I wonder about these people that never have no problem, never have no trouble. They must not be like me. Maybe you need to take some time off and go find yourself, and then you'll find some trouble. Find some problems. There's a lot of trouble lives in this suit. A lot of problems inside. There's a lot of problems sitting down by you this morning. And so Jacob, even though he is walking on the road of blessing, he finds some things that life that we must face. We must face some things in life. I want to say, first of all, you'll notice it is a place of distinction. In verse number 11, he lighted on a certain place. Certain place. Now, why did the Bible say that, Brother Lee? Because I'm going to tell you, God had a destination. God had a place of great distinction that He must bring him to. And I'm going to tell you this morning, before you're ever going to do anything for God, and before you ever do anything for your family, before you do anything for the glory of God or the ministry, you're going to find out that you can't do it in yourself. Brother Adam gave me some good advice this morning. Isn't it amazing how the Word of God even preaches to the pastor? You know, a lot of the problems I have is problems God never intended me to have. A lot of the battles I'm trying to face are none of the battles that God put me in. They're battles that I brought upon myself. Where's this family or where's that family? I'm a worry wart. You know, there are water walkers and then there are worry warts. I'm a worry wart. Worry's like an old rocking chair, honey. You can sit down in it and it'll keep you real busy, but it won't take you no place. And boy, if we'd realize that the battle is the Lord's, and as this little girl sung this morning, victory is mine through the Lord Jesus Christ, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, and I'm tired of facing battles that God never intended me to fight. If God can't get your hide here, I can't get your hide here. Amen. And I run all the tires off my car. Turn me some volume up. The devil don't like what I'm preaching this morning. and run all the gas out of my car and all the tires off of its wheels. But honey, I done found out people's gonna do what people wanna do. And there's a lot of times I've nearly lost my family over you that I shouldn't have done it. I should have closed my Bible, said my prayers, and slept on the pillow God gave me and said, God, to you be the honor and the glory. You put those in the church that pleases you, and it's your church, it's your faith, it's your glory, and God, we need your power this morning. To God be the glory. But there's some things in your life that you'll find out that will stop you. Now a lot of you are young and dumb. You're just full of a bunch of vinegar right now. And you're bulletproof. And I used to walk like you till my chest fell a little lower. Amen. I used to walk around like a banty rooster too. But there's a few stops in life where God's let the air out of me. And before God ever does something for you, He's going to let the air out of you too. Now the Bible says He lighted on a certain place and tarried all night because the sun was set. Now, the places in life we face, it is a place of distinction. It's a certain place. And then it's a place of discontinuance. It hadn't stopped. And can I tell you, honey, when the sun quits shining, you better stop. Because when the light ain't shining, you fixing to trip up and fall. Oh, it is a place of distinction. It's a place of discontinuance. And it is, I want to say this, Jacob found himself in a place of darkness. You know, I used to, didn't understand people that seemed to be in darkness. And a lot of times I wondered about just really how terrible it would be to be in that darkness. But here Jacob is finding something out about darkness because the sun was set. Now, I want to say today, you may be in darkness, but I'm glad there is a way out of your darkness. The devil would love to keep you in darkness. The Bible says, walk in the light while you have light, lest darkness suddenly finds you. I don't like the dark. Boy, dark is so dangerous, and you get hurt in the dark. But Jacob found himself in a dark place. You may be here this morning, and you found yourself in a dark place. Because when you're in a dark place, you can't see nobody else in there with you. Boy, the devil would love to tell you you're in a dark place and you're in there all by yourself. But I want to tell you, honey, when Jacob awoke out of his sleep, he said, my Lord, he said, God was in this place and I never did know it. Can I tell you, God will lead you into some difficult places that you may figure out who you are and how big He is. Boy, he took him into a dark place. I want to say this is a lonely place. Boy, it's a place just being by yourself. I don't like being by myself. A lot of y'all, I worry about you because you want to be by yourself. I don't like being by myself. I've said it 100 times because I find myself. I don't like myself. I get to talking to myself. You know, they say if you talk to yourself, you're crazy. When I'm pushing along, I'm talking to myself. I'm weed eating, I'm talking to myself. Some of y'all, I'm worried about it. You talk to yourself. But you know, Jacob, he's stealing the blessings of God. He's still walking down a road, but God's got him stopped in a distinct place. I wonder why God has got you stopped in a distinct place. I mean, it seemed like life was just a sailing, and now it's stopped on you. Boy, I can remember when I had the world by the tail, making money hand over fist. And all of a sudden, all that stopped. I want to say this. You can write this down. Things do change. Things do change. And you know something? When change comes, we got to be willing to adapt to change. I done found out you ain't got to make the kind of money that I've made in my life to be happy and make it. A lot of times our lifestyles don't need to be near where they are. I mean, as long as you got a good pair of overalls or blue jeans and a t-shirt to wear to church, and as long as you got food on your table and a roof over your head, and as long as you got a bed to sleep in, well, you got everything He's done promised you. Everything else is just extras. Matter of fact, you ought to throw your little old hand up to Jesus this morning and say, thank you, God, for a lot of extras. Thank God for a lot of extras. How many deer rifles does it take to kill a deer? How many pocketbooks does it make the total bill for? Boy, it got quiet then, didn't it? You didn't like that point much, did you? How many pocketbooks does it take to tote all that makeup in? That still ain't working on some of you. Your makeup's broke. But you know something? Jacob found himself in a place where it stopped. And he found himself in a dark place. He found himself in a distinct place. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. Anything and everything that God's ever used, He's got a distinct place wrote on you in your life where He's going to stop you and teach you something. Distinct place. I'm talking about the places in life we face. It's a place of distinction, and it's a place of discontent. It's a place of darkness. And watch what He done. I still ain't got all the light I want on this. If anybody's got any more on this, share it with me, because I want to preach this week. The Bible says He took the stones of that place and put them for His pillows. Now, I sleep with two pillows. Praise God for nice pillows. But I want you to look what He's done. He's took rocks and He's made Himself pillows. You know, I want to say the places in life we face, there will be a place not only of darkness, but a place of difficulties. My goodness, there was some rocky place. Hey, there's a lot of rocky places in life. Matter of fact, you're going to find out that a lot of times the places you got stopped are real uncomfortable. And then He said this. He laid down in that place. That's a lot like me and you. We lay down in it. You know, no doubt it was a place of depression. He laid down. And you know, some of the greatest preachers in America were filled with depression. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers since the Apostle Paul. There were weeks that he'd go into depression in the church he pastored. He'd stay out of the pulpit sometime 2 to 3 months. Couldn't even preach to his congregation. You know, I used to, you know, think light of people in depression. But really, all depression is, it's the devil showing you falsified documents that are lies. It's making you believe a truth. And it's so depressing. And And the Bible says that he laid down in it. Now that's one of my big issues. I want to tell you something. You ain't got to stay in it. You don't have to stay in your dark place, or you don't have to stay in your lonely place. There is a way out of it. And I'm glad the second point's in our Bible, because he said not only the places in life we face, but now look at the picture of the ladder we find. The Bible said that when he was asleep, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now, the picture of this ladder we find. First of all, notice its arrangement. It came to him by grace when he was asleep. The Bible said in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, and no doubt this ladder is a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, who's rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Isn't it amazing that the arrangement of this ladder came to Him when He was asleep? I'm glad the Lord Jesus came to me when I was asleep. Dead in trespasses and sins. But I'm glad there's a way out of my trespasses and sins. I'm glad there is an arrangement. Glad there's a ladder. And can I tell you, there was one way to heaven, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's still the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the arrangement, and then we see the access of it. The access of it. I want to say that it reached to the world. It reached to the earth. And it reached to the lowest place. I don't care how low you are today, it's accessible by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said it reached from heaven to earth. Aren't you glad that He came in a lowly place to a lowly people? Because He had a great love for sinners. Oh, the access of it. We find in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 13, where here Paul's teaching and he says this about the access of it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 13. How many times have you been in a place but you wouldn't accept what God has given you to get out? He said this, there hath no temptation or trial taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You ain't got to lay in it. You can get out of it if you want to get out of it. A lot of times I get to feeling sorry for myself, and I like people to feel sorry for me with me. And I know I'm just preaching to myself, but some of you women live with folk like me. Now, you know, sometimes we really have a beta feeling sorry for ourselves. He laid down in all of them bad places, but God had him a way out. And so God says, with every temptation, He's given us a way to escape. You can get out if you want to. You know something, a lot of you have temptations that is grabbed you in life, and maybe life's got you stopped in a bad place or a bad situation. There's a way out. A gun ain't the way out. Pills ain't the way out. And alcohol and drugs, they're not the way out. The Lord Jesus is the way. Can I tell you, the Lord Jesus is the way out. The Lord Jesus is the way. And He said, look, He said, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Don't blame it on the devil. God's give you a way to get out of it. That is a ladder from heaven. Aren't you glad He loves us enough He gave us a way out of this? I want to say a way out of your sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you headed to a devil's hell on a fast trip. You got the you got the foot pedal to the floorboard and you headed to hell on a fast pace. But I'm going to tell you, there's a way out. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of us in a bad place, and we've chosen to lay down in it, but He says, I can give you some help this morning by the access of the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Boy, I'm glad this morning there is access. But you know what? There has to be an acceptance. You've got to reach for what He's handing you. If a fireman comes, and you're trapped in a well, and they slide every ladder down to you they got on the truck. But until you do this and start to do this, you're going to stay right where you are. And you say, well, Brother Ken, how do we get out? I can tell you how you get out. One rung at a time. One rung at a time. And you're not going to miss any rung before you get to heaven. The first rung is faith. Amen. You got to realize what He's trying to do for you and reach and grab a hold of it. A lot of you, your marriage is in shambles and it's about to go all to pieces. And God's tried to give you something in a bad place, but you won't accept what He's gave you and you won't reach by faith and grab it. So you just chose to lay in it. Some of you dying going to hell, you've chose to lay in it. There is an acceptance. You've got to be willing. Romans 5, verse number 1. I'm glad there's a way out. Romans 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. There's a young man here Sunday night. I think he's in Tennessee today. He said he had to go and get some things seen about. But you know what? God handed him a ladder here Sunday night, and he said, by faith, I'm going to grab a hold of what you give me, and I'm getting out of where I am. Boy, ain't it a blessing? God loved us enough to give us a ladder, the Lord Jesus. And hey, help's on the way. Help's on the way. The Lord Jesus Christ. He handed him a ladder down. He said, now, you got two options. You can lay in it, or you can have faith in it and get out of where you are. Oh, I'm glad today that there is access. I'm glad there is acceptance. Can I tell you, the Lord Jesus refuses none. God don't want me to lay in where I lay a lot of times. A lot of times I come to this church, and I'll be honest with you, I've become so focused on so many negative things. The devil stole my joy, and boy, the skip in my step. But let me tell you, there's a way out. And it's one rung at a time. And sometimes, Brother Mike, folks has got to hold the ladder. I'm willing to hold a ladder for anybody this morning. You know, the other day I wouldn't climb the ladder because there wasn't nobody there to hold it. And I was scared about falling. But something about this ladder, he said, angels was ascending and descending upon it. I'm glad when a man starts walking toward heaven on this ladder, you got more protection than you've ever had. The angels of heaven. I'm glad they're holding the ladder this morning. I want to ask you something. Do you want out of where you are? It's amazing what God could do in your circumstance if you just have faith in Him. Matter of fact, He brings us a lot of times to this place to realize, Brother Gerald, we can't get out by ourselves. Such a blessing when I realized I couldn't pastor a church. Such a blessing when I realized, Brother Troy, I couldn't preach a sermon. I had to learn some things the hard way. There's a picture of a ladder that we find. You know something? There's an application of the ladder.
In 1 Timothy 2, verse number 5, look what the Bible says on this application. He said, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. You know what? He did build a bridge. And He did send a ladder. And He sent the ladder that we could get out of where we was. And boy, it's something about a ladder too. Once you get on it, you're climbing higher than you've ever been. You know, when you get on this ladder, it don't leave you where you was. There's new responsibilities. There's new area that you've never been in. It's just like climbing right on into the glory land where one rung at a time. When you get up there now, you're on a rung that you've never been of. And can I tell you this? New levels bring new devils. Can I say that again? New levels bring new devils. Don't you think the devil knows this equipment sitting out here on the west side of this church fixing to build a hole there in the morning? Don't you think the devil knows this wall's coming down by the grace of... Don't you think the devil knows the new family sitting in this church house this morning? New levels, new devils. Some couldn't handle the new levels. But I'm going to tell you something. God said there is a way out. There's a ladder we find. Boy, ain't you glad in every temptation there's a way to escape. What would we be if He didn't give us an escape out of temptation? We're all tempted. You hear me? Well, I feel like I done lost you this morning. But we're all tempted. But God said with that same temptation, He's made a way to get out of it. And that's one way. And that's the Lord Jesus. You know, I found myself more in the last 3 or 4 weeks absolutely falling on my face and saying, dear God, I've come to a place where I can't do it by myself no more. Lord, I'm in a bad place, but I'm tired of laying in. And all of a sudden, I get to thinking, and He reaches and He hands me a ladder. And then there's a few people there holding the ladder. Brother Adam, you come here just a minute. Brother Troy, come here just a minute. You know something? A lot of you, y'all scared about climbing a ladder. I am, but you know what? If I got Brother Troy on this side, Brother Adam on this side, I say, boys, I've never really got out of here, but I'd love to get out. I'd love to be able to get out of where I am. And then y'all say, well, okay, preacher, just put your foot there, grab your hand here, and say, we're going to hold you until you get out. And boy, it sure does help me when God's put people in my life to hold the ladder and get me out. But this, it may just be a cup of coffee on a Thursday evening. Brother Wendell, it may just be a little old phone call. Brother Jerry, it may just be a preacher that's keep preaching. And my God, for the people, Brother Randall, that'll hold the ladder for you. Let me tell you how you're going to get out. One rung at a time. Sherry, won't you come this morning? There's something here that is absolutely, maybe it's only for me. But I seen something studying this thing Friday morning. I just about left my study. Brother Lee, I've never had nothing so over. I called nearly every preacher and told them about what I've seen in this text. And I want to give this to you. And this is only probably going to help people that's really wanting to do something. But there are places in life we face. There's a picture and a ladder we find. But lastly, there's a powerful lesson we forget. Now here it is. In verse number 11, there is a noted place. Number 2, He said in verse 17, how dreadful is this place. There is an annoying place. I don't like to be here. But look at verse 18, Brother Dennis. But he turns your annoying place into an anointed place. Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he put for his pillars, and set up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. That anointed place just become his anointed place. You know where God's going to help you the most is where he breaks you at. Listen what Paul said. Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. He said, God, I don't like this in my life. I don't like it that it may depart from me. And this is what he said. I'm learning more about this. My grace, not yours, but my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Brother Adam said it exactly right this morning, neighbor. The church has never been hurt because persecution just always gets stronger. Always goes for... And let me tell you something. When you get out of that place that you're in, you're going to look back and you're going to find out that become an anointed place. You're going to have power on your life like you have never had. But you're going to have to realize you can't get out of it by yourself. But there is a way out through the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you ought to gather around this altar this morning. Say, God, I do want out of where I am. God, I want to live for You. God, I need hope. God, I need peace. And God, I need direction. God, I need light. Grab a hold of it by faith. And some of you this morning, maybe you've never been saved. It'd be a great morning that you'd be saved. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal things today. He denies none. Whatever you need this morning, you come. There'll be people hold the ladder for you. Be people help you.